Welcome to Open Studio, a program where we put a spotlight on the arts, artists, and issues in the cultural community. I'm Tom Musgrave. Voices Amplified is a relatively new arts organization in Central Kentucky. Its mission is to create equitable spaces for theatrical performances and put a spotlight on underrepresented populations. The group seeks to bridge divides among the community and remind us we are all living a shared human experience. I'm joined today by Vanessa Becker-Wieg, Executive Artistic Director and co-founder of Voices Amplified. We'll talk about the organization's goals and what's coming up in the near future. So welcome, Vanessa. Good to have you here.
Hello. Thank you. I am happy to be here.
I was fortunate enough to see your production back in November, Rose's Turn, which was a delightful cabaret experience that put, as you indicated in the promotional material, women of a certain age in the spotlight, which was wonderful. I knew some of those women of a certain age too, which was equally delightful. I want to use that as an entry point for us to talk about how that illustrates what you're working toward in Voices Amplified.
Well, Rose's Turn, a cabaret for women of a certain age, was very near and dear to my heart, being one of those women of a certain age. But we have produced several cabarets over the last couple years. We introduced our cabaret series last season, and we started with our youth program, just really amplifying the voices of youth. But then we went to Make Them Hear You, which celebrated Black excellence. And then we went on to I Am What I Am, which was a delightful cabaret sharing experiences of the LGBTQ community. So when we moved to this season, we really did want to kind of put a focus back towards our roots, which is in feminism. So we decided that we would do a cabaret that was for women and women of a certain age. And this cabaret series is something that we just kind of experimented with, and it has certainly now developed into something that we're going to keep doing. In fact, we have some, you know, other voices that we're going to be trying to represent in the future, in addition to probably bringing back Rose's Turn. It was pretty well received. And this year we're actually bringing back Make Them Hear You. It was so well received that people were like knocking down the door trying to get in.
Have you in the course of, and I do want to get into sort of the genesis behind Voices Amplified.
Absolutely.
I don't want to leave that out, but in the course of the organization being active, are there any original works by local playwrights that you have that you've done or plans to do that in the future?
I'm so glad you asked. We have not yet, but we are in June is Voices Heard, which is a women's theater festival, and we actually are going to be taking submissions for a short play festival for that. We also are going to be workshopping a new musical. This person lives in New York now, but is from Kentucky, and they are working on a musical about Lizzie Borden, and we're going to be workshopping that for the Women's Theater Festival for sure. But we are very excited to, you know, start the application process for those short plays from local playwrights.
Okay. What's the superhero origin story for Voices Amplified? How did the idea come about?
Well, the Voices Amplified started off as the Girl Project. And we actually started the Girl Project when Kentucky Conservatory Theater was still in the community. And Ellie Clark and I started the Girl Project together. And then it kind of progressed, and the Girl Project went with us, and we both of us started working for out at Woodford Theater, and they, you know, let us keep doing the Girl Project there. And then COVID then COVID happened.
Yeah.
And as you know, everything just kind of evolved and changed at that point. And right around when COVID happened, we were starting to realize that the stories we wanted to tell were actually under the title of the Girl Project. There were some of our Girl Project alumni. And for those who don't know, the Girl Project was geared towards young teenage girls and telling their stories and empowering them to use their own voice. But we had 6 years of Girl Project alumni, and some of them, you know, they began to identify differently on the gender spectrum, so they didn't really feel as connected. And so we started to examine what exactly we wanted to do with the Girl Project and how we wanted to move forward. Because, you know, during COVID, we had all of that time to evaluate all of the things. So that's when we decided that we were going to evolve from the Girl Project into Voices Amplified. And we decided that we weren't going to attach ourselves to a specific theater anymore, that we were going to become our own entity. And so that's how that happened. And so we applied for our own not-for-profit status under Voices Amplified, shifted our mission statement to be more inclusive of other underrepresented voices.
Kind of a bigger umbrella.
Yes.
Under which,
yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I want to take a moment and ask about your background in theater, because you were not only a producer, director of the cabaret Rose's Turn, you were also in it.
Yes, that was a little insane. And that is a very rare for me to do all of those things. But I was so passionate about, you know, doing the piece. I've been doing theater since I was like five. And I started off as a performer, and I went to college and majored in acting. But I found that I really enjoyed bossing people around. No, I'm kidding. Over the years, I've become a collaborator, less of a boss. But anyway, I realized that I enjoyed directing and also just kind of educating, and then arts admin then just kind of naturally progressed and fell into my lap. And frankly, I was able to get paychecks doing those things versus being an actor. So I lived in New York for a hot second when I was in college. It wasn't my thing. Then I lived in Chicago for a little while, and then started a family. So I moved back to, I actually am from Ohio. And I moved back to that area and started my career in Columbus, Ohio for many years, and worked for a theater company there that's now, its name has morphed so many times, but it's morphed to the Contemporary of Ohio, I think. Anyway, so I worked there for a long time and then moved to Lexington in 2009. And, kind of came here, and it's so interesting, you know, moving to this area, especially when I've got this resume, but like, they're like, who are you? And you're not from Lexington. But now I've kind of, you know, a lot has morphed in that time, and education is something I'm really passionate about. I also teach at Eastern Kentucky University. But yeah, so I worked at Woodford Theater for, 7 years, I guess. And then, COVID happened, started Voices Amplified and started teaching EKU. And I really love working with college students. I didn't know that would be something that I would love so much, but I do. We have a youth program underneath Voices Amplified called Activate. And, it's still very much a passion of mine, is working with those middle school and high school students who live, eat, and breathe theater, and especially musical theater.
Yeah. Well, musical theater is very, it's very easy to get excited about,
yes,
especially if you love the production.
Yes.
You mentioned, spending time professionally in New York and Chicago. Are there parts of that life that you find are revisiting you, or that you are revisiting in the work that you're doing now with Voices Amplified, that hit those notes that you're hitting in Voices Amplified?
Well, I will say that, you know, I do hear from several folks that they enjoy the work that we're doing, because sometimes that only tends to happen in, you know, larger cities. It's interesting that you ask about that, because I have to give a shout out to Luigi Art Studios, which is where we did Rose's Turn, because I had never been there before, and a couple of friends of mine suggested it, and, you know, I went to go look at it, and I was like, I don't know about this. But then Mike at Luigi Art Studios is just such a craftsman, and like really helped to make the space look like what I wanted. And so I'm hoping, hint, hint, Mike, I'm hoping that we can develop a partnership and utilize that space more, because it does to me have a very urban feel. So I used to go see cabarets in Chicago, and that space reminded me so much of that. So I got really excited, and I have something that I'm cooking up in my head that I think is going to be just a great piece in that space, that people are going to feel like they're in like a New York or something. I think that kind of work is a challenge to perhaps do in this area. And I've had people who live in LA and New York, and they're like, you're doing what in Kentucky?
Well, the setting, the venue, I have to say, it's very kind of non-intimidating. Mm-hmm. For not being a traditional proscenium theater, it was almost like, and I imagine this is what you were going for. The audience is part of the production in as much as it can be. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like we're in someone's living room. Yeah. And that was great. For me as an audience member, that's important. Mm-hmm. I don't like going to theater and feeling intimidated by a venue. That's just me. It might not be everybody, but
well, that's wonderful to hear, because yes, that's absolutely what I was going for, and hope to be able to do more. I know that space they're gonna, you know, they're working on it, and they want to rent it more for, you know, weddings and such. But it is a really, it just feels like an artist community when you walk in, and
yeah.
It is.
Yeah. So I mean, Visual Art Studios there. There's
yes.
plenty to look at before the show and during intermission, and so they're fulfilling multiple missions.
They sure are. Yes.
What has been the community response to what you've been doing?
So the community response has been really wonderful. Our audiences do continue to increase, even, you know, depending on, you know, what space we use. We use relatively smaller spaces. The Downtown Arts Center is our primary kind of scripted space. We've also, we did What the Constitution Means to Me at the library space, and it was perfect for that. And then we took that out to EKU. I will say that when we did What the Constitution Means to Me, it was shortly before the election. I was worried about how that was going to be received. It's essentially a one-person show, and I was in it and concerned about if it was going to get some feedback, especially when we went to EKU. But it was very well received. It was interesting. We had a couple of even politicians there at the show. And one was a Democrat and one was a Republican. And it was great, because I felt like people were having conversations, which to me is the most important thing. I'm willing to do the work that sometimes seems scary if it is going to prompt a conversation, because ultimately I'm not trying in any way with the work that we do to divide people. It's actually to bring people together, because if you're not hearing everyone's story, then how are you going to understand them? And how are you going to come to a place where you can have a conversation and come to a greater understanding of somebody who maybe isn't like you?
How often do you get to be aware that there is a conversation happening outside the bounds of the performed work? Is it something that people tell you, or do you just have to trust that it's going on and by various things that you hear?
Well, I mean, we definitely do some evaluations, you know, for certainly for grants. You know, we will send out some evaluations and ask people specifically if they've had those conversations. But I definitely hear it from a lot of people that they're having these conversations. And it's really interesting. I have some, not immediate family, but some family that's just on the outer circles that maybe don't always understand certain things that Voices Amplified represents, and they have come to some things and they have had direct conversations with me and asked me questions, and it's been wonderful. I think that discourse is important. I think having those challenging conversations are really, really important, and so that's really what drives and motivates all of us who do different things for Voices Amplified. We want those conversations to be had. So it's certainly not for the pay.
I never heard an artist say that that was the reason. But art in all of its forms, performing, visual, literary, what have you, is always, I think, a good entree to those kinds of discussions.
Yes,
and you know, it works well as an entree to those discussions.
It does.
So I want to give you an opportunity to talk about, you've talked a little bit about this, but what's coming up for Voices Amplified?
Sure. We'll be having some big announcements in January. We do have coming up in February, at the end of February, 1st of March, is Make Them Hear You 2026. We just cast that, and they just had their first rehearsal this past Sunday, and I'm really excited for it. That is conceptualized by the very talented Ron Wilbur, and it last year it was just such a beautiful piece, and people were going crazy about it. I mean, they were crying and they were laughing and they were clapping and they were just, and people, we couldn't get enough people in the room. So if you're coming to Make Them Hear You, get your tickets plenty ahead of time. I'm telling you right now, we still can only seat about 100 people per performance. And then our Activate company, they will do their end of the year work, which is also going to be a cabaret, and it's a miscast comedy cabaret. So we've lightened it up a little. We had a pretty heavy year last year, and we've lightened it up a little with them, and we're studying improv comedy and then having fun with music and changing it up. And then our Women's Theater Festival in June. So we'll be having big announcements about all of that. We've already announced Borden, the musical workshop, and then our short play festival, but we have another big thing that we'll be announcing. And then at the end of next year, we have a couple of ideas in the works. And I just can't talk about those yet.
Intriguing. Well, I guess we're going to have you back to talk more about that.
I guess so.
Well, thank you again, Vanessa Becker-Wieg, for joining me on Open Studio. You can learn more about Voices Amplified at voicesampd.org. Listen to Open Studio every Friday during WUKY's Morning Edition and in the afternoon during All Things Considered. Or listen to extended segments at the Open Studio podcast, available at WUKY.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Do you have an idea for an Open Studio segment? We're always on the lookout for news and events in Central Kentucky's arts and cultural community. Email us at openstudiowuky@gmail.com or visit our Facebook page, keywords Open Studio on WUKY. Your idea may make it on the air. I'm Tom Musgrave. Thanks for listening to Open Studio on WUKY.